Welcome to the June 20th, 2024 meeting of Savannah County Board of Supervisors. Thank you for transitioning over here to Morris Room. And we'll hopefully get back to where we can be in there all the time. And I want to say Mr. Goad wasn't able to join us. He had a second, I'm not sure which one. He had a second hazmat class for being a volunteer firefighter. And like Mr. Sheridan, he had to, at the last meeting, leave towards the end to go answer a call. God bless you all for what you do, and we're glad you're here. I just said something good about you. You can't just say thank you. Thank you. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. All right, adoption of the agenda.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I just have a couple things. Yeah, a couple things. So one, there was some discussion about deferring item A, position upgrades for the Commissioner of Revenue's office until the next meeting. And then also, we'd like to add one item under new business, which is NACO, the National Association of Counties Voting Delegate Designation.
Same thing we did for BACO, but
So I didn't drop it. You're a man like that.
All right.
Thank you, please.
Move that we adopt the agenda with the changes so made.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Sheridan, seconded by Mr. Goad. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Chair votes aye.
4-0.
We will move on to administrator's report.
We have just have a few things to report, Mr. Chair and board members. Want to welcome Serena Grooms. She started in social services as a benefits program specialist one. She started on June 17th. Welcome Serena to Savannah County. The Savannah County Library hosted the Charlottesville band's Rivanna Winds on Saturday, June 15th. Those in attendance listened to great Dixieland music and ice cream was served. There was almost 100 people in attendance at that event. Again, another good thing that Ms. Hoffman does for events at the library to get people engaged. And just some upcoming meetings. So remember, we have our July 3rd meeting. We only have one meeting in July, and it's July 3rd. It's a double meeting. So it starts at 5 p.m. and then basically goes on through, and then we'll have public hearings at 7 p.m. That will be at the circuit courtroom over across the way. And then after that, our other meetings, regular meetings, we have Wednesday, August 7th at 5 p.m. will be a regular meeting, and then Wednesday, August 21st at 6 p.m. will be a regular meeting. Again, both of those meetings are going to be in the courthouse. Happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions?
For some reason, I keep getting a calendar invite for the 17th, but we definitely don't have a meeting.
The 17th, okay. No.
All right.
Yeah. It's not a cancellation?
It could be a cancellation. Okay. Yeah, it could be a cancellation.
But yeah, no.
If he could find his phone, he'd be able to answer.
Hey, that's a different phone.
All right.
It's also my 33rd birthday.
What's that?
Said it's also my 33rd.
Today?
No, July 17th.
All right, first round of public comments. Anybody wishing to address the board, please come to the podium and state your name and address. Remember, keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct to the board. Anybody wishing to address the board this time?
Thank you. Kyle West, 218 Knoll Farm Lane, Charlottesville, Virginia. I've met most of you, I think. I am the founder of Vega Renewables, a utility scale solar development company. I've run a couple of national development platforms in over 25 states, and I've actually developed more solar than any individual in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And your favorite topic, utility scale solar, that's what I'm here to talk about. I know that there's an impending decision June 25th and July 3rd likely to maybe disallow utility scale solar in the A1 district. I completely understand where the discussion's gone, why that's up for debate. I would like to just impress upon you just a few thoughts on that. You know, I think there is a way to get everything you want, increased tax revenue, more responsible and measured land use requirements around utility scale, less onus on county staff. You have a new planning director. Rezoning requires more on the planning director and planning staff. You can get all of that by keeping it in A1 because it's already a special use permit. You can deny, you can allow it. There's a siting agreement, there's a revenue share ordinance. You can put anything you want in that siting agreement. You can increase the taxation. You can drive the siting agreement revenue. Many, many millions of dollars that are up front loaded to your district. I would say to you, instead of doing the big government move, the bureaucratic big government move that increases process, more staff and money on the county, to think about the simple solution, the streamlined one, the smaller government move, to actually just fix the ordinance and make sure property values aren't impacted, make sure health and safety isn't impacted, make sure, you know, you can't do but so many projects, increase setbacks, increase all those responsible land use measures that we've talked about. If the follow-on is to create a solar district, as I've heard, I don't understand what the difference is, because you can do everything you want right now without doing that. So, and I would like, I do think, I've said this, we just permitted a project in Buckingham County, and I begged the district supervisor to get that money into that district. That money belongs where the project impacts the community. And what you can do is negotiate millions of dollars through a siting agreement that goes directly into the communities that are impacted there. So I would love to help you with all that. I'm a consultant. I've developed 70 operational projects in 25 states. And I think that Fluvanna, with this leadership, we don't have to repeat what happened in Zion Crossroads or James River Water Authority. I can tell you already, I know for a fact $30 million in solar revenue has already walked out the door because of uncertainty in the county. I think, you know, each of you could sit here during your term and say, we brought in $200, $300 million in revenue in a responsible way. Turn away projects. You should. If they're poorly cited, turn them away, but allow them to come in and judge them on their merits one by one. And so all I really want to say is use me as a resource, use us as a resource. We really do want, I live in your backyard, 20 minutes away from you guys. Like, I'm here almost every week. I'll be here June 25th, July 3rd, happy to meet with any of you all. But let's just not add more process to your county, more cost to it, and let's just welcome business. Let's be business friendly and make responsible land use decisions. That's all. And I'll get out of your hair and not have none. So, thank you all.
Okay, anybody else? Seeing none, we will close the first round of public comments. We have no appointments. We'll move on to action matters. You were saying we were going to put
B.
That into
new business.
Okay.
That would be new business.
Yeah, new business.
All we're doing, what we're talking about, is giving me the authority to vote for the county at NACO.
Okay.
We can do that during new business.
We'll go to B, preliminary engineering reports proposal for the Public Road Park expansion, water and sewer. Mr. Dan Wilhelm.
And Bobby, you want to introduce and kind of tee it up? Or?
Yeah. So, so let's start with the for brother. So Mr. Billhauer and we're both from Dewberry Engineering. They will be doing a preliminary engineering. We hope to be doing a preliminary engineering report to figure out what our water and sewage usages should be out there, considering the CIPs that are currently on the books. And the board has expressed interest in making sure that we have the correct water amounts and sewage amounts, so that we can provide, you know, those things for the community. Without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Dan and his team.
Yeah, And then also too, Mr. Spitzer is here too, kind of regarding this, if you have any questions and regarding some of the requests from the community.
Good evening. So again, I'm Dan Villhauer with Dewberry Engineers. Had the pleasure of working with your staff for probably nearly 10 years on all things water sewer. So we're going to talk about another one of these matters. So with me is Ryan Bogies. He's a senior project manager. We worked together in our Glen Allen and Recco County office. So he's going to present about this first evaluation for Pleasant Grove.
Yeah, so the main purpose here is to look at providing water and sewer for the several facilities within the park. One of these is existing, the Grove House Museum, and then a future proposed public bathroom and a splash pad. And this is just a basic aerial figure of the park. Shows the general location, but you can see the high school is located on the left-hand side. The proposed park bathroom facilities centrally located with based on the center of the park, just south of the existing high school well site. And two components of our evaluation on the water side, we'll look at the existing high school well to see what capacity that has to serve the proposed facilities. We'll also look at the potential to add a new well to the park and what the required water infrastructure is going to need to be to connect the bathroom to those well facilities. On the sewer side, there's an existing gravity sewer that runs from the high school down through the park. So existing sewer is nearby. So we'll look at the infrastructure required to connect to that existing gravity sewer for the park bathroom. We expect that's going to be a small grinder pump station, unfortunately. The anticipated schedule for evaluation is roughly 7 months, and estimated design permitting for the project to take about 9 to 12 months. And then for construction, it's estimated to take between 9 and 18 months. But the total project duration of roughly about 3 years. Are there any questions on the Pleasant Grove evaluation?
And just some things with this. I mean, so one, you know, Mr. Spitzer, well, splash pad, how many years ago was that, Mr. Spitzer?
Three.
I think it was two.
It was 3 years because it was the lights 1 year. Yeah. The fence this past year, the year before that, 3 years ago.
Yeah, so I mean, so one, the board approved a project for a splash pad at Pleasant Grove Park. We still have the water infrastructure to do that. Certainly, there's been some challenges with water to the house and the facilities there, too, at times. Again, the well system, the water, you know, let me go back to that one slide. Water from this well here serves the high school, and so sometimes the capacity is not necessarily there to provide, you know, good flow to the Pleasant Grove House as well. And then, you know, certainly too, I know the community and also Mr. Spitzer and the county has submitted for a plumbed bathroom at Pleasant Grove Park. Again, without any type of infrastructure there, those things are just not going to be viable to happen until one, Dewberry does a preliminary engineering report to kind of determine the feasibility of how to move forward, the cost, and just kind of what we know and what we don't know about that.
Aaron, I know you and I had a lot of emails about
bathrooms. Yeah.
So this would kind of solve, eventually, be a step forward in solving the port-a-john problem.
Yes, this would hopefully go where the waterless bathroom is right now, right near the playground. So it's sort of the ball fields, the playground, and soccer. Okay. All together, and the splash pad would be right down from it. So it actually serve all four functions.
And again, too, if we got the necessary infrastructure down here, you know, if Pleasant Grove Park expands at any point, you know, if the ball fields, you know, expand out there going from 2 to 4 at a later point, you know,
community center down there is and CIP projects.
Yeah, we will have the infrastructure down that way already.
So is this, it's right over there to the right. Is this replacing the concrete building that's there? Or are we gonna somehow plumb into that concrete building?
We would probably replace that because there would be no need for that waterless bathroom right there if we have plumb bathrooms right there.
Right, and I'm gonna throw a question out.
And it's right along the road too, so you would have access to pull along the road, stop, and then go to the bathrooms if you need to.
Would we want to think about putting concessions in as a part of this building as well?
I mean, you could. I mean, there.
To me, that's going to be, if we expand any more fields, we're going to have good concession stands there. Unless we're going to put good concession stands and bathrooms at each.
Yeah, so ultimately, I think at the start of this project, we just have to get together with county staff and identify exactly what facilities you want out there. And it doesn't have to be on day one, right? If you don't plan for it. And we can evaluate and size the facilities for whatever you need. So I think it is a good point about having sort of that forward-thinking mindset of figuring out what you may eventually want out there and then making sure that you're appropriately sizing your infrastructure.
So, I mean, we know we don't have any potable water in the park for anybody that comes in, like riding a bike or something to get a drink. They have to come to the house to get actually a bottle of water or our water tank because they can't get potable water in the park. And the bathrooms, and then there's no potable water in the house. Or the community garden, you know, it doesn't have potable water, so they're running off the well water with possible E. coli in it and stuff like that. They have to take their produce home and wash it before they eat it. So it would do all of those areas. And then we tried to use the well, and then when the chiller went off in the high school, it sucked all the water out of the pipes to the school, and it took 2 days to fill back in. And it was in the middle of the summer, and the community garden was not happy with me. Really, it was bad.
So, I mean, talk about looking at the facilities, whether it's a restroom or a restroom with a concession stand. I mean, there are lots of options once we get to that point. I mean, they've got lots of, like, prefab things that you can drop in place. I mean, so if it's something that's more along the same styles of the restroom facility by the Pleasant Grove House, or if you have something that's a little more, you know, think of like those prefab sports-oriented ones that you drop in. I mean, I think there's lots of options. But again, until we do a preliminary engineering report for this, we just don't know what we don't know and or what the costs are going to be.
I thought right after my question was premature when we were talking about that. So I talked to Bobby outside here a bit ago. Well, the gist of it was I had a citizen call me this afternoon and ask, isn't this something that our staff is able to do and that we have the equipment to do? Would you please respond to that for everybody to hear?
Sure. Currently, we don't have the staff to do that type of construction. If we had a pipe crew that had that expertise and that knowledge, we could probably do that. We have put in for a extended hose, which allows us to do deeper cuts into the ground if we need them, but we don't have that either. We don't have a dump truck. We don't have, you know, the other equipment that you would need to do that kind of work. And certainly my staffing is limited. You know, we have operators out there. We don't have pipe crew. They operate the system. And when we have leaks and other things, we react to those. But we don't have any way to be preemptive or to do projects like this. So I'll be happy to take pipe crew together to improve that. and that would probably be a five-man team to do something that big.
And plus, too, I mean, again, yes, but even let's just say we did have the crew to do that until the preliminary engineering report was in place,
we wouldn't know what to do.
We wouldn't know what to do. And yeah. So that's really the first piece.
Yeah, if we have to dig a well, of course, we're not. Sure. We don't have the expertise to do that.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about slicing lines in or putting a new line, like I said, I just don't have the staff to handle it. I mean, I've got four guys on, and three of them could probably do the construction, and the other guy would have to go around and do all the other work for months on end by himself. I just don't think that's an efficient way to run our systems.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Okay. I think the next item we're going to discuss.
Before we go on to that, I mean, any further questions on this
on Border Pleasant Road? Shoot over to the
Oh yeah. We would have to. The board would have to vote on this. What's that? We broke your presentations up into two separate ones.
We got to vote on one.
Yeah. So we're good. I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation for the public utility budget in the amount of $39,685 with the funding to come from unassigned fund balance for the development of a preliminary engineering report for the county to access water and sewer expansion opportunities for Pleasant Grove Park.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Goode, seconded by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Goes 4-0-1. Moving on to item C. Please proceed.
Yeah, so I'm going to have Ryan talk about this as well, but just want to give you sort of a brief background on this. So in, I think it was 2018, we were commissioned to do a water and sewer master plan for the county. And so one of those areas was the Design Crossroads growth area, which you're all very familiar with. And when we were looking at future water and sewer projections, we identified the fact that you're going to have plenty of available water with the James River Water Project. But the one limitation was the sewer capacity. So currently with your only sewer capacity there is that there's an allocation of about 100,000 gallons per day of capacity at this Flubana Women's Correctional Facility wastewater treatment plant. And what's really important to understand here is because we're in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, you are limited. You are not allowed to discharge any more nutrients to the bay. And so it is really critical to work with facilities that already have the nutrient load allocations. And this is a, in my opinion, probably one of the most important things that you can do to ensure that you have continued capacity for growth in that Zion Crossroads growth area, because you're not going to be able to use your water that you're getting from the James River Water Authority if you don't do something in the sewer. So that's just sort of my sort of opening statement. I'll turn it over to Ryan.
And just one thing too, just before we go. So this topic was discussed with the board previously. I think it was before Mr. Goode and Mr. Hodge. I think Mr. Fairchild, you were still on the board at the time. And so the board had directed staff to reach out to the Department of Corrections, because again, going through the DOC and the Department of General Services is a really, really slow process. And so the board wanted us to reach out and engage with them to see if they would allow us to explore the option of expanding their system. So that's what this kind of is there for. So.
Yeah, so getting back to what Dan was saying, this is a chart that we pulled from the Utilities Master Plan, but it basically shows the projected growth demands for the Zion Crossroads area for the next 20 years. The existing DOC facility has a capacity right now of 300,000 gallons per day. The DOC reserves 200,000 of that for themselves, for their own facility. Flavanna has an allocation of that for 100,000 gallons per day. This chart also shows the future projected estimated that allocation demand is supposed to be required for the next 20 years for the Zion Crossroads area. But as you can see here from the projected flows, the existing allocations will be exceeded in the next 4 to 10 years. You're going to need that extra wastewater treatment plant capacity. And the options we looked at the master plan time, just going back, refresher here, is for Flubana to build their own wastewater treatment facility. And we also looked at discharging to a neighboring locality and, of course, expand the Flubana plant. Number two was ruled out just due to the closest locality is Louisa, and they're reserving their existing capacity for their own growth. So that kind of left options one and three, and getting back to what Dan was saying on the next slide. The nutrient load allocations, this was something that was instituted back at Chesapeake Bay Watershed Limits about 20 years ago, where every existing facility was given a waste load allocation, and then the new facility after that point in time would have 5 credits for their credit bank. And those credits come from other localities that have allocations, but just like Louisa, they're reserving their future capacity for themselves. So that credit bank, there'll be less credits as time goes on because there's less available. So this makes the DOC expansion the most feasible option. Just a high level figure to show where the existing facility is. It's right next to the correctional facility, the DOC wastewater treatment plants, just a couple miles west of Zion Crossroads. For our PDR, we'll look at several options for expanding the facility and also prepare some budgetary cost estimates for construction. But the PDR typically takes, we estimate, 9 months, and design and permitting construction for a facility like this typically takes 5 years. So kind of overall project duration, roughly 6 years. So going back to that original slide, kind of that time frame when allocation will be required, future capacity required.
Should I get some?
My only question, I know we've talked about this in the past, is I understand Louise's point of reserving the capacity, but if we're invested in expanding, you know, almost, and I guess first question is expansion capability up to, in that chart, for example, at the water treatment facility or the DOC, capable of getting to those levels that you're projecting right there?
That's part of our PR process, to look at the different options to get to that level, treatment level, to be within their existing wasteland allocation. And looking at phasing it for the first phase of getting to 900,000 gallons a day and allocating 700 of that to Urbana, and then in the future after that, in the 10 to 20 year range, expand that facility phase to up to just under 2.9 MGD.
And just remember too, so right now from the DOC, we've got 75,000 gallons per day of water, 100,000 gallons a day per sewer. So the agreement we have with Louisa County, kind of as part of the intergovernmental agreement, once the JRWA project comes online, we reserve with an agreement of Louisa to get up to 400,000 gallons a day. So we'll have 75 with the DOC plus 400 through Louisa, which is coming from, you know, basically our water through the JRWA. So we'll have 475,000 gallons per day once the JRWA project is complete. But again, we're limited to that 100,000 gallons in sewer capacity. So that's going to always be our limiting factor of specifically up at Zion's Crossroads to get additional businesses. Just as an example, and maybe Dan or Ryan can correct me if I remember correctly. I think right now Louisa on their side of the line, they're at about 500,000 gallons per day. And so maybe Dan, or maybe more, I don't know, or maybe less.
Yeah, so they started, I think they expanded their plant to their current capacity about 10 years ago. And they started with just under 100,000 gallons per day. And I think right now they're flowing at 300,000 to 400,000 gallons per day. So obviously you've seen the growth on that side of the on the interstate, and ultimately it's because they have water and sewer capacity.
So the second part of the question is, I understand that they don't want to give up their capacity right now, but they're not using that capacity. Would we not want to explore going in with them on expanding that plant that they have there already? Would that not be a less expensive approach? I don't know.
So you
I don't want to say discount it, you eliminate that as one of the possibilities. Should that be part of your engineering study?
Yeah, so they're also, so I actually designed that plant expansion about 10 years ago, and their issue is they started out with 100,000 gallon per day plant, and their nutrient lay allocation was based on that capacity. So essentially what happens is, you know, about 20 years ago, like Brian said, everyone knows discharging Chesapeake Bay was assigned a total sort of annual load that they were allowed to discharge. And if you weren't doing nutrient removal, they assigned a certain baseline concentration they were assuming. And so the way to expand your capacity is to increase the level of nutrient removal. And there's a certain level of nutrient removal that is, I guess, economically feasible. So they already expanded their plant to what's called state-of-the-art nutrient removal, which is 700,000 gallons per day right now, just based on their initial allocation. So they would not be able to easily expand beyond that unless they found some way to offset those nutrients. So it would not be a simple task. And I also do know, I mean, they, you know, just as far as their development growth, I mean, their flows are growing pretty rapidly. So I would be surprised that they'd be interested in sort of going in on something with jointly. The Department of Corrections, on the other hand, I mean, we've actually helped other localities with that, where they're very, very willing to work with localities to help them provide water and sewer service where they have their facilities, and they're pretty reasonable to work with, and they have a lot of land out there. They already have the nutrient load allocation. I don't think they have the need for it, so it's actually a really good, I think it's a really good opportunity for the county.
And they have the wastewater treatment plant. I know that some localities have pursued mass drip fields as well as a way, and as you point out, there's a lot of land back there as well. Is that something you would look at or explore, compare, or not? just discount it?
So in Virginia as a whole, I'd say, maybe not a blanket statement, but generally a pretty clayey soils. So you would have to have hundreds, if not thousands, of acres for that kind of capacity. So from that perspective, they don't have enough land to be able to do that. It's usually not very cost effective unless you're talking about, you know, very small, like, you know, 5,000 gallon per day little plant. If you're in different parts of the country, like Florida, where you have sandy soils, a lot of times they do drop infiltration basins, which goes through the ground and works really well. But in this area, it just doesn't happen because of the massive amount of land that you need. I would also, and we've talked about this before, but as a plant increases capacity and more flow, that reclaimed water is also something you potentially could sell. So if you have industrial development that comes in there, these lot of non-potable water, that is a valuable asset that you use. And if you sell it and don't discharge it to the river, that's nutrient stable discharge, which actually adds more capacity as well. So it'd be a valuable resource for the county for sure.
So given the, kind of to your point, given the nutrient gaps that we have, or the inabilities we have with regard to that, it sounds like this is kind of our best option at this point would be to explore this. I guess that's a question to kind of get my own self caught up. I mean, because this was, I think I remember y'all talking about this, maybe it was September of last year or something like that.
Probably. I mean, going back to 6 years ago, we talked about it.
Yeah, we've been talking about it.
I mean,
yeah, we're actually behind the ball.
Well,
a little bit too, until we got the original Zions Crossroads project complete, we didn't really want to jump into something. But, I mean, again, we know it's going to take a while to develop. And again, once they do the PER and really get a good idea of what costs are going to be for that, I mean, we've had discussions. We certainly think it's more feasible and more cost effective than building our own individual plants.
And you also have all the sewer infrastructure that you built as part of the Design Crossroads project already going to that plant. So you wouldn't have to rewrite a new sewer line if you need that.
How do we vet? Have we studied how long it's going to take us to need more than 100,000 gallons? Like, how do we know that we're not doing this well ahead of when we need to? Is it 10 years out that we'll need more than that, and therefore should we be doing it now? What do we bet that towards?
So part of demand projections is sort of a, you know, best estimate. So you look at different resources, you know, Weldon Cooper population projections. But in this area, I think it's more of an economic development area. That I guess you're trying to look for economic development. And I think Jennifer could probably test this. You can very easily find a lot of economic development prospects that easily want well more than 100,000 gallons per day just with a single user. So I think it definitely hamstrings your ability to be able to track those users to the county. But really, those demand projections, they're not going to happen if you don't have the infrastructure. So honestly, if you do nothing now, we'll probably just stay flat because you just won't have that capacity. I don't know if I answered your question, but I guess 100,000 gallons per day is not a lot of capacity.
I think the answer to your question, Mr. Fairchild, is so staff went through a process as we're going through the master plan, looking at all the different, you know, what's currently there, vacant land that we know that is landowners that are interested in developing, trying to come up with some type of, okay, well, how many years out do we think this property is? And again, there's some methodology to, you know, what is the demand based on that? I mean, again, as it stands right now, I mean, we wouldn't want to try and get a business that wanted 75,000 gallons per day, because that's going to eat up pretty much, well, that's going to eat up all of our allocations. So really, from our standpoint, we would really have to look at just low water users. I mean, if we were to do nothing, that's really what we'd have to do. We would have to look at something that is more, I would say, more of a, I don't know, maybe an industrial business or office type of shell that has low, you know, small bathrooms and lots of space.
So it sounds like what you're saying is it's not necessarily about years out, but expanding the options that we would be able to have as we're going about this growth.
Correct. Because if we don't do this, we're just going to have to be very cautious in the users that come, because, I mean, as we know, the big push is the real estate value, the sales tax, and all those, you know, machinery and tools, business, personal property. Those are the things that really provide the revenue. I mean, again, you get one user that maybe is in a, let's just say, is in a 100,000 square foot building and needs 50,000 gallons per day. For some reason, we're not getting a whole lot of bang for our buck out of that. So that's where, you know, having the options from the water standpoint can kind of expand that and get the county options.
So, in part, I think that answers the question in part, that yeah, if you don't have it, you can't sell it. But then it's just like any public corporation does, and they're deciding if they're going to invest in infrastructure and placing a facility here, there, and there. They would tend to have a study along with that that says we expect we'll start seeing, based upon market trends, so on and so on, expect we'll start seeing the type of business we want to attract and get a return on our investment in X amount of time.
So when we had one of those, yeah, when we looked at this way back, you know, 10 years ago, there was a base study done that had a low growth, medium growth, high growth scenario. I think in the low growth scenario, it was 10 years. In the medium growth, it was 4 or 5 years. And in the high growth, it was, you know, just a few years before you ran out of capacity. But I think the other important part to note is that it's not just that you have to limit who you're attracting to. You're sending out a message to the development community saying, you're not real players because you're not investing in the future. You're not planning for the future. We're not going to start projects to then have to wait for you guys to bring sewer in here. Yeah. You know, and we've seen how these projects can take a lot of time to actually come to fruition. So, you know, they estimate 5 years. I'm not going to be surprised if it's 8 years or 10 years, you know, just based on the experiences that we've had so far. So I would argue, and I mean, this has been a known thing from the very beginning, that the sewer capacity wasn't there. They were really already behind the eight ball. Like, we are going to hit a capacity before our infrastructure is in place. And that's in the low growth scenario. The high growth scenario, we're already out of luck, basically. I mean, I guess you could do things like ship out some of the stuff, you could put in some initial treatment type of plants and that kind of stuff. But
price of that.
What do they call it? They're like mobile treatment plants or something like that.
Which again, that doesn't give you a ton of capacity, so you don't have the ultimately, if you're trying to attract sort of the high,
And the second thing I would say is it's not going to get any cheaper. We can wait 5 years to do it, and it would quadruple in price.
I'm not against this. It's a question I'm trying to vet how we get there. Well, and my answer was going to be to Tony, and then falls right into what you're saying there, just devil's advocating. So why not build twice as much? If all this is ever going to be cheaper, build twice as much.
I think what they're proposing, what they're looking at, is to get us to 900,000 gallons.
Yeah.
You know, we have an agreement of 575,000 gallons. You know, that's with Louisa treating the water. That is not the fact that we can't divert for our own purposes half of the available 6 million gallons, right? So, and that also assumes that Louisa would not say to us, okay, well, we're going to give you another 300,000 or 400,000 gallons. But let's say Louisa became the roadblock and said, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep that, 475,000 gallons. Then at that point in time, we're looking at building our own water treatment plant for the water that we're bringing in.
And our own water line.
And we're building that water line down, from Remo Bluff into the county. If you look at it from that perspective, we're not going to go down because they already brought the pipeline up. So keep in mind, Louisa built that pipeline and agreed to that capacity at their cost, at their expense. We didn't pay anything for that pipeline. So that's why they have that limitation. That's what we negotiated with them way back when, in terms of what that capacity could be for us. So, if we're at 500,000 gallons of usage 10 years from now, well, that's what Louisa's got right now. which is generating them $700,000 worth of tax revenue. Yeah, it stands right now for you. That's the last I heard. It's probably $1.5 million now. I have no idea, but you know.
And why wasn't this a part of the original? Why was this not a part of the original plan?
Well, there was, as I said, there were.
Trying to keep the cost down as much as possible back then because it was going to be $11 million.
I think it was just originally just trying to get a trunk line, get some trunk lines in the ground and have an allocation, and then come back once that was all in place.
Keep in mind, this crossed multiple boards. And you know there were and multiple years of discussions of bringing water into the county and how we were going to do that. The JRWA was really the last of you know many iterations of that. And so you know, ZXR, just using the DOC, was actually looked at in advance of sort of the JRWA coming to fruition. And it was known at that point in time that the capacity that they had there from a water side wasn't going to be from a sewer side. You can do it, but you know, ultimately, you know, part of the argument back then was, well, why don't we just do the DOC first? And so the models and the studies were done based on just doing the DOC first, and then once that's built, then we'll do it. Well, then came in the JRWA, which opened up this opportunity. Keep in mind that was, you know, 11 years ago now. And so, you know, to some degree, we're just getting to the point where we have our infrastructure in place. And we're still 3 years out before we get to JRWA, or 2 years out, in theory, from that. So, you know, yes, there were thoughts and there were conversations about how to get there. But in a lot of those discussions and a lot of those debates, it basically boiled down to your economic development plan is to put 100,000 gallons worth of water, and you have no other plan other than that. And it was like, okay, you know, everybody kind of looked at that like, okay, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's not a plan.
If I may, I was around doing economic development then. The 100,000 or the 75K a day was only intended to be a jump start. To get us started, we thought the JRWA would be a faster track than it was as far as water and all that. And we also knew that the sewer was a limiting factor.
And we were in discussion with Aqua, if you remember, about their building the plant, doing stuff down there.
Yep.
There was discussions about was it somebody else that was doing water.
Well, we had
a water pipeline that we were looking at.
The electric plant.
The electric plant had could we use their water pipeline? There were still discussions about the
national
building down 15. So there were a myriad of sort of
we've gone a scattershot
approaches to take it, right? So that's good for you guys.
And really for this, I mean, you know, the DOC with their, you know, with them having the facilities kind of in place, with our system already hooked up to it, and them having the room for expandability, it is probably the best option too. And just plus when they've got the capacity from a nutrient level standpoint, which is the huge part. And actually
that reminds me, because we did have conversations with Louisa way back in the day saying, well, would you sell us sewer? And they were like flat out, no, we're not going to sell you sewer.
Because those things are so valuable.
Because they considered this. So they were like, no, we're not going to sell it. So we knew then that we had to come up with a plan for sewer, you know, whether that was our own wastewater treatment plan or whether that was, you know, doing it through the DOC, we were going to have to expand sewer because that capacity of 125,000 gallons was not going to meet the rules that we had.
So the answer, I think, is that you didn't make it a part of the original plan, this extent of sewer, for financial reasons to not spend and tax too much at any one time.
In the beginning, when we did it, it was unrealistic to just do the JRWA, because that's what some people had said, just do JRWA. Then we get the JRWA pipe in the ground, and we'd have to look across our side not having water and sewer. So then we had to come back and do that. That's why we also looked into the westward expansion going down 250 towards Beaver Dam Church. Okay, that's why we had the numbers on that. That came up after, but all that was part of the plan, A, B, C. I think we actually had it color-coded in that type of deal.
And the sewer, you know, the building our own sewer plant was, you know, going to be, of course, millions of dollars. But the other thing, too, was that the cost that the DOC was charging us for treating sewer was really negligible. was like about as cheap as you could if you're going to get it. So that was another thing which was pushed for. Let's go ahead and get this initial sewer pumping out through them. Even if down the road we have to build a separate sewer plant somewhere else, that was going to be a very inexpensive way to do it. So that's kind of the history behind all of that.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from anybody? All right, so.
Did we vote on B?
Yeah, we voted on B.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve supplemental appropriation for the Zions Crossroads Enterprise Fund budget in the amount of $84,215, with the funding to come from unassigned fund balance for the development of a preliminary engineering report for the county to investigate expansion opportunities for the wastewater facility at the Virginia Department of Corrections, Levana Women's Correctional Center.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Sheridan, second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes 4-0-1. On to item D. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
John, annual shareholders meeting and proxy designations, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so every year this comes before the board for designating someone to be the proxy, which could be, you know, anyone, you know. Being a proxy for John, they can be responsible for elected officers, you know, making decisions on behalf of the county for John. So, you know, the proxy could either be a Board of Supervisors member, it could be an appointed John board member, or it could be myself. So last year when we did this, the board appointed Hal Morgan, who was on the board at the time, as the John proxy. And again, you know, you can either do it for 12 months from the date of the appointment or to the end of their term in office. So those are some of the options. Mr. Morgan, Hal Morgan, is not renewing his appointments. The board elected appointed James Schoenster as his replacement. And then there is also Caitlin, who's the other one, I can't remember her name.
Isella Wittich,
yeah, she's also another board member. So you can either appoint one of the board members, or if the board supervisor wanted to be in, or myself.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the designation of James Schoenster to act as proxy at the annual meeting and any special meetings of the shareholders. Next time I'm letting you read this. Of John on all such matters as may come before the shareholders, including without limitation the election of directors and the appointment, shall be valid for the following term until the end of his term in office, including any renewals thereafter.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Sheridan, seconded by Mr. Goad. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes 4-0-1.
We'll move on to public hearing. Item E, public hearing to amend section 9-2-2 and 9-2-4 of the county code to increase fuzzy water rates and charges. Mr. Whitting?
I can take it, or Dan. So again, you know, the Department of Public Utilities oversees operations, maintenance, and repairs for the following systems. Again, we're talking about this one, the Fort Peterson Sanitary District. Also, they have oversight of Zions Crossroads, Palmyra Sewer, Carriagebrook Wastewater, and Central Wastewater. So this is the Fork Union Sanitary District. The layout of the map, to the left is south, to the right is north. So the red line outlines the FUSD district boundary. And there's green and blue lines in there to represent some of the main water mains, 8-inch and 6-inch water mains in there. And again, this map flips back the correct direction here. Here's the James River, here's Bremo, and then you can see the orientation of the Fork Union Sanitary District. And then you can see the Fork Union Community Planning Area within that sanitary district. So again, the county has not had any rate increases for the Fork Union Sanitary District since 2014, so we're going on about 10 years now. So this is just kind of a history of the rates and what they were.
So you can see, you know, in the columns, you know, back in 1986, $14 up to the first 2,000 gallons, $5.83 for 2,000 to 300,000, and then above 300,000 was $3. Currently, what it is, we're at $21 for a minimum charge for the first 2,000 gallons, and then $11 for every 1,000 gallons above that. So the proposed rates at this point would be a minimum charge of $24 for the first 2,000, and then going up to $11.22 for anything above that. And again, this chart shows the effect of what the proposed rates would have on the, you know, kind of a standard homeowner. Again, Mr. Popowitz noted that, you know, typically the standard homeowner is going to be between 2 to 3,000 gallons per month, probably closer to three. So you can see if someone's at 3,000 gallons per month, they're paying $32 per month. The proposed rates would go up to $35.22, so that's a $3.22 a month increase. And again, you know, the revenue is nominal right now to look at from this, you know, roughly around $20,000. And I think we need to get in the habit of getting a every 2 year look at this going forward too. So, but we want to get something on the books and get it in there, and it's something that we can reevaluate in upcoming years as well. So that is the sewer. Also, there's proposed availability connection charges that are being proposed to be increased. So back in 2006, there was just a $1,050 availability charge. We'll talk about current right now. So if someone wants to connect to the system, it basically costs them $4,500. They have to pay the $2,000 plus the $2,500. What's being proposed is just getting rid of the availability charge, and it's just paying a flat connection charge of $6,500. So basically, they're paying $4,500 now to hook into the system. It would just be now increasing that to $6,500. And those costs really go for capital improvements in the system. And so again, never mind that one. That slide should have been removed. So that's really kind of where we are with that. I'm happy to answer any questions. And Mr. Popowitz is here. He can certainly answer any questions as well.
A couple things. Are we, and maybe this is a question for Bobby, are we, I know, you know, we had the public hearing to post, or however you, whatever phrase you want to use for this, publish the rate increase. I guess that was in the Flavanna review. Is there any sort of notification following this that it passed? I mean, we're only talking 498, is it 498 households?
Well, 498 customer accounts.
Yeah. Accounts, so that would be party, I guess, so I'm assuming 498 addresses.
Yes.
Is there any
residential and business?
Yeah, yeah. Is there any sort of notification, really, at least to, I mean, obviously to the businesses would be important too, but to the residents and to let them know that this did pass, so that when their bill hits in July, they're not like, yeah, well, what the heck?
We did speak about that.
If it passed.
Valencia and I have come up with a, maybe putting in a letter with bills and go ahead and just send that out with their bills in the next month, saying this is the reason your bill's gone up in July.
First time in 10 years.
Yep. Okay. But, so we can do something like that, Mr. Good, if you wish.
When is their first payment in July? I mean, ideally it would go out if they had a, if they got a, I guess they've already gotten their, they're getting their June bills when?
Probably next week.
Can we, so we can do it in the June, so it wouldn't be going up in the June bills, it would start July 1?
I take that back, they just went out. They went out today, or yesterday, or Tuesday, sorry. We were off yesterday.
Well, I guess, Mr. Goat, if the concern is to give them some advance notice, I mean, you could delay the effective date of when these rates go into effect. I mean, that's one option if you wanted to put notification out ahead.
We could put notification out ahead. I mean, it's just a matter of putting together a letter and then.
What's 498 times 60? A couple $100?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your math is bad today.
498
times
60. 0.60,
sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. 60 cents.
Yeah.
60 cents.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not
anything. Do you have?
Oh, yeah, the letter you got across this morning.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would like if you all would so oblige.
Well, I've got a question.
Okay.
Even with these rate hikes, this is not going to make it a system that can easily replace itself, correct?
No, sir. Correct. So we are too far.
When we talk about if solar comes in, wherever that solar goes, all that money goes there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep the profits and then spread out the bills.
Yeah.
That would be my
point. Well, that gets to my point, too, about we've had conversations about, you know, with the JRWA, what does FUSD look like? And if we're going to talk about revisiting rate increases every 2 years, should we just have more of a discussion about where we go with this moving forward?
Well, then my question, and the reason I think we do it every 2 years is so we don't have, like we've had to do, where we have to go $3
or whatever, so
we don't have to have a monster leap, because we had that happen to us with the tax rate.
Well, no, I agree, and if people get used to it, they can plan for it, and they know it, it's coming. And when you go 10
and
years
nobody's going to go up.
My water bill just went up $30. Yeah. $50 or
whatever. Well, okay, you didn't know where the per decimal month, point. You didn't know where the decimal point went last time, so I don't even care.
Are your decimal points messed up?
And also, just one thing to add to that. Remember, we're working on a preliminary engineering report as part of the Fort Union Water Supply Project with the proffer money that we got from Dominion. So there'll be lots of improvements in the Fort Union Sanitary District, elevated storage tank, water treatment. So once that comes online, we'll have to see. It doesn't negate the fact that there are old lines in the ground that need to be replaced.
Yeah.
So there's going to be costs for some of that. I don't know if necessarily that all the Dominion money can be used to replace lines. But let's just say, I think you could possibly direct.
I wouldn't even try to do that. Yeah. I just was making a point. I'm not going to read. So you've got your glasses.
All right. So. Can we go back to can we provide a notification before? I don't know that we need to delay it. Is Valencia going to call me tomorrow and be angry with me?
No, in fact, we've already talked about this, and she's all for putting out notices. So both of us are. So that's not something we...
So we can get that done before they get their July bill?
Yes.
I wouldn't want to spend the money if they're going to get it with their July bill. We're talking, this is... Comparatively speaking, but we had this conversation last meeting about people on fixed incomes in this area and in this community, and I think a notification, if we have the opportunity to do that, it's only 498 households. If you print the addresses, send off a letter, let them know so that when the July bill comes, at least they're not like, obviously anybody can tune in and listen to a meeting, but unless, you're reading the Fluvanna Review, which sometimes arrives in Fort Union on time and sometimes doesn't.
Yeah.
You may or may not have seen this published. So I would like to see a letter prior to...
We can get it done next week.
Okay. Yep.
And then probably get it sent out by the following week.
And Ms. Melton's next door, because she's doing a Munis thing, but she's listening to the meeting. So the July bill, I think she said, would go out August 10th is when the bill would go out.
Okay.
So
that'd be the first increase.
That's when the bill went out.
Oh, so you could just put it in the...
Yeah, the June bill typically.
The June bill goes out in July, so you can put it in the June bill.
Yeah.
Save price on them envelopes.
Either way, we have to do envelopes. So we do a folding.
It's a self-sealing bill.
Yeah.
Or what you may want to look at, too, is there may be a way to put some type of notice on the bill in, like, a memo section.
You could save a ream of paper.
Yeah, we can do. I think a letter is probably the most appropriate to do. And then we can put in some of our. It's very limited what we can put on those bills, but we might be able to put something else on the July bill with that, so they'd be getting two notifications.
Well, and something small and fine print on a bill might not draw your eyes directly.
Exactly. But at least it'd be the second time you see it.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. As long as we get that done, that's my only question.
We're happy.
Just do it in one color and motion.
I'm with the Board of Supervisors.
Public hearing first.
Oh. All right. I don't have anything in front of me.
We'll now open the public hearing.
Anybody wishing to speak? Seeing none.
We'll not close it.
Now we'll put up for a motion, correct?
Close
public hearing.
I move the Board of Supervisors amend section 9-2-2 and 9-2-4 of the County Code to increase Fort Union Sanitary District water rates and charges.
Second.
Should we not have the charges listed there?
As in?
No, because they're in section 9.2-2 and...
Correct.
Yeah.
The ordinance shows the changes in the rates.
Yeah.
So the motion covers that?
Mm-hmm. The section shows the changes.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, passes 4-0-1. Moving on to item F, public hearing to increase building inspection fees. Mr. Whitman.
Yes, so the building inspection fees have not been adjusted since 2009. So increasing the fees would potentially increase the revenue by approximately $25,000. So if you look at the fee schedule that was in your packet, it shows where the different fees were increasing. And we did make that one clerical error in the last meeting. There was a clerical error where it said 1 cent, it should have been 10 cents. So we did make that change as well.
Holy cow.
But I'd be happy to answer any questions about the ordinance. And the ordinance was properly advertised.
And again, Mr. Also in the package was a big comparison of different localities, and Mr. Wells and, you know, his staff went through and compared everything. And again, we didn't want to be the lowest rates, but we didn't want to be the highest. You know, they're kind of right in the middle for all the other localities.
Discussion? And the page open now. So with no questions or comments from the board, we'll open a public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Hearing and seeing none, we will close the public hearing and go ahead.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the amendments to the County Code to amend section 5-2-2 schedule of building fees.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Goode, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, passes 4-0-1. All right, consent agenda. Anybody want to pull anything out of the way? Anybody?
I'll move that we adopt the consent agenda as presented.
Second. A motion by Mr. Goode, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, passes 4-0-1. I see your lips moving, but I'm just not hearing.
He's been coming up over here the whole night.
All right, we'll move on to unfinished business. What did we last say about a rough date for our retreat? Anybody remember?
We were talking about August. We've got some proposals that we
need to review.
What's that?
We need to review again.
Yeah, we need to review. I mean, we can bring those to the board July 3rd. We do have a couple proposals from both the Berkeley Group and...
Virginia Institute of Government.
Virginia Institute of Government.
Okay. And when will we set the agenda?
For the
retreat.
You'd set it ahead of time. I mean...
Once we have a date, we'll...
If, depending on how involved the board wants to be or the board chair set the agenda, you know, we could certainly do it that way, too. There's no kind of concrete way to do it, but, I mean, if you as the board chair or the board want some specific, you know, direction, or we can just kind of go with how they generally do a board retreat.
Okay. Thank you.
When is the next solar committee meeting? For ordinances.
So the plan was, I was going to wait until after the July 3rd public hearing to have the next meeting, because that's kind of the linchpin moving forward.
But so weren't we limited in our timeline between?
We are. I just thought it made sense to maybe wait until that public hearing to see where that went before we
agree
on creating a new solar district and new supplemental regulations.
I don't disagree with that, but that, I brought that up when we first did it and said, well, why are we?
So that was kind of my thinking. So basically, we'd have a meeting right after that, you know, the next following week, or the week after. That was my thought, because we have to
provide the recommendations to the planning commission by September.
Right. Thank you.
And speaking of that, I guess it was cut me off if it would be unfinished business, but going back to the gentleman's comments, you know, he talked about getting the money in that community where you're building the project, and I would just say that, you know, I think that's an important thing to consider as we're looking at a lot of this is, you know, he said, get the money in the community, but I, you know, unless I've really, really missed something, I haven't seen someone say, this is what we can do for this community, or this is what we want to do or do to help this community. And so, you know, I don't know if that's something for y'all to maybe discuss how that can be incorporated into some of the things y'all are talking about. Obviously, the legalities of that would be on Mr. Witten, but, you know, I don't know if you can put anything in the ordinances with that. That probably has to be more of a siting agreement thing.
That would go into more of the siting agreement piece. Yeah. I mean, you could say, you know, we want $1 million because we want to upgrade the Fort Union Sanitary District's water system, the pipes that are in the ground. I mean, you could...
Right now, the going rate is $25,000 per megawatt for what you should be getting out of a siting agreement.
That's so the going rate?
Talking to other localities, that should be what you're asking for, is $25,000 per megawatt.
I just, when I heard the numbers, the gentleman was going up, and I'm not trying to, we've not heard any numbers anywhere close to that, and I'm trying to picture the entire county of Fluvanna as a solar panel. And I'm not trying to be
arguing. Yeah, no,
the $200 million and $300 million, and
other. Well, that's to maybe the total project size.
Total project cost. Yeah, the revenue. 46. Don't throw that out and make it sound like that's the revenue. That I've never heard $200 million as a revenue.
I mean, you have the flat cost and revenue share. You get $1,400 per megawatt. And originally, as part of the signing agreement, you were getting more like $10,000 per megawatt. And now, talking to other counties, it's $25,000 is going right. You can get it up front, or you can get it, you know, over the life of the project.
Generally, sometimes what they do is if they do it up front, they're gonna discount it because you're getting everything all up front versus if they hold on to it, they can make some money on it rather than giving it up front.
All right.
New business.
All right.
I got you, brother.
I'll make my
protein.
All right.
There's no protein. Oh, protein.
Doll.
Yeah, so new business. So 2024 VACO voting credentials. So as part of that, Mr. Sheridan's going to the NACO meeting this year. And so as part of that, you know, we can have a voting proxy as part of that. You can either appoint, generally if you have someone going, you would appoint one of your board members to make the vote. You can also, too, you could appoint other counties and stuff to make the vote on your behalf, but it would generally make sense to appoint a voting board member.
So Chris told me he wanted to get a mic.
Anybody?
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I said anybody but Mike.
I move the Board of Supervisors to approve Mike Sheridan to be appointed as a voting delegate representing Fluvanna County by casting votes at the 2024 annual business meeting of the National Association of Counties.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Goode. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to set this one up since it's been.
You say no.
Yeah. You're done, brother. So the chair votes aye, so passes 3-0-2.
0-2. Mr. Hodge and I abstain.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
No more new business. We will move on to our second round of public comment. Anyone who wishes to address the board to come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Anybody wishing to address the board this time? Seeing no one, we will close the second round of the public hearing.
Mr. Chair, I move Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors and enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A8 of the Code of Virginia, as amended for the purposes of discussing legal matters, insurance proceeds related to the Kent Store private.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Goode. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, passes 4-0-1.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Goode, second by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Nope.
Mr. Goode?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Mr. Sheridan?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes 4-0-1.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Sorry.
Do you want a third?
All in favor?
Do we have it?
Yes, we have it.
Motion made by Mr. Sheridan, second by Mr. Goode. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes.
I didn't think we'd ever get through this.
Aye. 4-0-1.
I'm not a slick.